and we've because some people are leaving a little early, so we're going to introduce our closest, one of the Forest's closest friends, a family member, Bob Bancroft, to deliver the eulogy.
Usually I shoot from the lip, but I've been asked today to actually hand this out, so I've written, thank you, Ashley. So I've written something, and I don't know how it'll go, but we'll just try it. Thank you so much for coming today to show the government that we need them to change. You have been very polite, and that is good. That's our way. But we need to get somewhere. We need some change. And the title of my eulogy is, Where Have All the Good Forests Gone? Dear friends of the forest, you're all here. It's Mi'kmaq, family, foresters, scientists, neighbors. This story began about 10 to 12,000 years ago as an ice age departed. Since that time, a great diversity of wild plants and animals evolved. In the forest, it towered as a green mantle over the land we now call Nova Scotia. There is a sense of spirit and peace in a natural forest with old trees. In fact, natural forests allow trees to become elders. Hi, Peggy.
Mi'kmaq,
thank you. We always have lots to learn. The forest soothes our souls, and we begin to feel a part of a larger community of other living things. We rise above ourselves. When settlers from Europe began land clearing in the 1600s, major disturbances such as human set fires began. Harvesting with axes and crosscut saws shifted to chainsaws in the 1950s, and then to large, heavily financed machinery that we see today. To quote Elizabeth May, woods employment went from a bunch of fellers to a feller buncher. Today we are living the latest chapter, an unprecedented loss of Nova Scotia forests at rapid rates. Forest liquidation through clear cutting, where even the shrubs can be chipped. Like the cod's demise, this story of government-sanctioned forest liquidation is made possible by new technology and fossil fuels. I would like to thank investigative journalists Linda Pinozzo, Joan Baxter, who's here today, and Jennifer Henderson for sifting through the industrial forest rhetoric for the truth. It's a hard slog for them, folks. But for example, during the 25 years up to 2014, 42% of the forest in Nova Scotia that could be cut was clear cut. On public land currently, in spite of what Jess Bishop said yesterday, 90% of the cutting is clear cutting. Most of these woodlands have already been cut repeatedly, several times. So many of the original tree species lived and could still live natural lives for 350 to 400 years. So how did these forests become degraded to the sticks that we see trucked on the highways today? First of all, land disturbance favors short-lived, lower-quality tree species. That's what grows naturally here after a clear cut, this nature trying to heal. Forest succession actually takes much longer than that. But with government backing, the forest industry cuts long-lived hardwood and mixed-wood forests that take at least 150 years to establish and mature, and turns them into short-lived softwood stands and plantations. They intend to harvest these trees every 40 years or so. It's better for cash flow. It's not better for wildlife. They need some shelter and food. All the industry sees, to my mind, is wood piles in a forest. Piles to be processed into wood fiber or chips to feed hungry mills and biomass burners. Mi'kmaq, did I get that right, Peggy? Okay. Informed biologists and many others sea forest is a living entity that fosters healthy streams for salmon and trout, provides habitat for woodland flora, and habitat for a wealth of animals. The industry respect seems to be reserved for profits, the smell of money, most of which is going to foreign shareholders. Priorities include grinding and chipping our forests for fiber, pulp, biomass, and pellets to burn for heat and electricity, wood chips and pellets going offshore to produce chipboard elsewhere and biomass, and saw log supplies, meanwhile, are dwindling. Incidentally, the term they use is waste wood. Believe me, nature doesn't waste, and they're not really leaving anything on these sites, as you can see from Ray Plourd's photographs. Thank you. Electricity produced by wood biomass is at very poor efficiency rates and cannot be considered green energy by anybody but the most ill-informed and naive. And the gentleman standing at the back, Peter Ritchie, is somebody to talk to about energy. And we know what we're talking about. We have assembled a group of experts, of people who are specialists who can actually speak intelligently about this and not just mind fog everybody. The government, quite plainly, is misinforming its citizens with the message that biomass is environmentally friendly at the large scale that we're talking about. The government is also making poor, short-sighted decisions in a desperate attempt to maintain jobs in a diminishing pulp market. Instead, it should be making brave, innovative decisions that could set us on a new path towards a better future in forest management, forest products, and healthy forests. Many of these ideas were assembled in a report during the Natural Resources Strategy, but none were enacted. The problem here is large clear cuts leave moonscapes that where most wildlife species cannot survive. This removes employment possibilities for people for decades and slows new forest growth in nutrient-depleted soils that David Patrickin knows all about. Beauty strips can't hide what can be seen from space. The Global Forest Watch satellite images showing recent forest cover loss in Nova Scotia in the past 10 or 15 years are appalling but true and unprecedented, I might add. With the Acadian forest now gone in many areas, we are here gathered to mourn its tremendous loss. Now, the industry-led spin doctors have launched a new Act for Healthy Forest campaign seeking support in New Brunswick and Nova Scotia for another budworm spray program. Spray for a healthy forest. Wow! The insecticide will rob food from our wood warblers, as Cindy Stacer knows all about, and many of you, and it'll wreak untold ecological damage to a natural disturbance. They're native, and that has been going on and visiting our forest periodically for centuries. The forest industry and Department of Natural Resources refuse to work with the forces of nature. Instead, they steadfastly ignore them and seek to overpower them. They've created a worse problem with their few species, unstable, simplified forests, more vulnerable to forces of nature like wind and spruce budworm. Climate change is bringing hurricanes more frequently and invasive pests as well, foreign pests, exotics. Nova Scotia is adding to this climate change problem rather than dealing with it. This brand of forestry creates growing numbers of species at risk that DNR is supposed to ensure something about, from lichens to moose. Nova Scotia needs ecologically healthy, working forests that connect isolated patches of protected areas to one another. If such corridors existed, wildlife could once again be able to move freely throughout the province under continuous forest canopies, rather than finding themselves in remnant forests without food, stuck between barren lands of clear cuts and future plantations. This would create more genetic diversity and increase chances of survival of wildlife populations. So basically, clear cuts are too drastic a change for Nova Scotia's nutrient-poor forest soils, the waterways, wildlife, woodland plants, like from mosses and lichens up, and even complex communications networks of fungi that actually allow trees to communicate between each other. Large clear cuts have streams and rivers that run brown with silt, killing fish. Nutrients flush away to the sea, leaving depleted soils and meager prospects for the regenerating plants. This ongoing tragedy has been sanctioned by successive governments of all political stripes. We, the taxpayers, elect them, but politicians listen to the forest industry and their promises of jobs. And politicians continue to feed industries hundreds of millions of our tax dollars. As Tom Miller stated recently, forest industry and DNR management have no room for anyone trying to upset their apple cart. To put simply, and it's already been done today, Nova Scotia is overcut. Why would DNR sanction the harvest of 35-year-old stands on public or crown land unless we are running wood out of wood? The public had their say in a round of consultations that ended in 2009. That message was clear. Current practices are not sustainable. The status quo in forestry was not an option, they said. But DNR has not budged an inch. Instead, they've added large biomass plants and become more secretive. They are now allowing the mining of the forest, or the last of our forests, for foreign interests. Are we going to just sit back and take this?
No!
Glad to hear you say that. Is this the change that you wanted to see?
No!
DNR managed senior management talks about, and it's only senior management here, there are lots of good people in DNR.
It's true.
Yeah, let's clap for them. I apologize to the CBC. DNR senior management talks about, you must be getting tired, thanks for hanging in. The senior managers talk about sound ecological principles and science-based forestry. In reality, they cater to corporations and investor greed. Donna Crosland volunteered, and I volunteered for a year and a half on a government science panel where the industry rep would not accept science. Now he's one of those at the helm of natural resources, along with other former mill employees. Instead of setting a good forest management example on public lands for private woodlawn owners to learn from and to follow, contractors are being allowed to skin crown forests alive. What a role model. They're clear-cutting everything. Don and I go to these places. They're clear-cutting everything from mature sugar maples and yellow birch down to 2-inch diameter oaks, as well as whole stands long before they mature, chipping them and pressing pellets and sending these raw materials overseas. Thank you on behalf of the forests. They need your help. Stands of 20 and 30-year-old trees are now fodder for their harvest, as I said before. It's a government and industry organized race to the bottom. Meanwhile, some of the local value-added hardwood flooring industries, for example, have been forced to close for a lack of supply. There is also room for an expanded maple syrup industry here, and we have the trees, or we did. They are allowing sugar maple stands, mature sugar maple stands, on crown public lands to be cut instead of leaving them for syrup operations. And they are already beginning to tax the wood out of private owners. Because when they run dry on public land, guess where they're turning? I'll wrap up here in a minute, but one senior DNR staffer actually came to me last winter and said that a 15-year-old clear cut has everything that our wildlife populations need. I wish I was joking, folks. DNR should be hiring better educated staff, and we should be demanding that their industry people are ousted. Because the Liberals put them in. This government needs to be reminded that they're supposed to act as stewards over the forest and on behalf of the best interests of its citizens, which includes the forest. I just can't wonder in the back of my mind how that senior DNR person would shoehorn a barred owl into a nest hole in a 15-year-old tree. DNR calls large-scale clear-cutting ecological forest management. Just as a scientist, I call it ecological dismemberment. Think about it. Scotland used to be a treed country. Now it's down to 3% of the trees on the landscape. There's a new website out, sponsored by the industry, called Forest Families Matter in Nova Scotia. They're talking about protecting families and protecting jobs. What about the wildlife families in that forest? We're not protecting them one bit. The laws are a mockery, and this may be a mock funeral, but if you're one of the many wildlife species, as Soren Bondrup Nielsen said, displaced by a large clear cut, you lose your home, you become a refugee in what was your country, and you often die a slow, miserable, quiet death from starvation or territorial disputes. Forests are the lungs of the earth, filters of water, and they provide spiritual wellness. A friend of mine who died a while back said that my cathedral is a forest. If they are tended in an ecological... Yeah, it is a... Those forests are. If we're tending them in an ecologically sustainable manner, they also provide us with many things we need, including lumber for our homes and wood for our fires. We can use forests. We need to use them carefully. Give thanks to forests. Do you want to take back forests from foreign-owned mills and DNR? Do you? Good. Let's do it together. We've been working together to make this day happen and keep in touch with the Healthy Forest Coalition. Let's demand change, become better stewards, and make the Acadian Forest, or whatever it should be called, it should be the Mi'kmaq Magia Forest, make it truly healthy again. Forests can be resilient over time. So there's room for hope, folks. They do heal. Thank you for gathering today to mourn the demise of Nova Scotia's ecologically healthy forests and their wildlife. Our forests need your concern, and they need your action. One last sentence before the last of our unprotected public forests are reduced to mud and bushes. Thank you very much. Yeah.